the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up of the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. A Jericho in the Path is the title of the message tonight. As I said, we've been looking at how to live the victorious Christian life and how that parallels, or what is going on in the Bible parallels with that, I should say, what's going on here in the book of Joshua. And so, deliverance, we understand deliverance. We see certainly with that text how that happened. Everybody knew that had to be God. It wasn't us. There's always, we go all the way back to Israel coming out of Egypt, the blood, Passover coming up, the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, the slain lamb, there was shedding of blood. Deliverance always came by the blood of a lamb that was slain. And of course, our day, the Christ, we picture that. And so Israel was delivered out of Egypt, led out of their slavery in Egypt. We are the same way when we're saved. We're delivered from the kingdom of Satan. We are led out of that kingdom of Satan. We know that the Israelites had a time of traveling in the wilderness. They didn't have to travel as long as they did. They had to go through the wilderness a certain amount of time. Then they went to the, they got to the Jordan River, could have went over into the land of promise, yet because of unbelief. Faith, when we think about faith, you really have to learn that in a way. I mean, you say, well, faith, is faith cometh by hearing by the word of God, but experientially. And I think the wilderness experience, they had to have a certain amount of wilderness experience. Maybe the first part was enough. God thought it was. He was ready to take them in. And so there they were. We, like the Israelites, have also traveled in a wilderness area, saved, and yet still wandering around in the wilderness. And I might say, listen, it's time. Some have crossed over the Jordan to the realization of their dependence and oneness with Christ. We have that today. There's people that have done that. And it's high time for a lot of other Christians to go ahead and move on past the wilderness experience and stop wandering around in the same routine and rut all around. If you've ever seen a map of the Israelites traveling in the wilderness, man, they went all around. They probably saw their own footprints over and over and over again. Went around in circles, went everywhere. They were children of God. God provided for them. They experienced some of the power of God, some of the blessings of God, but nowhere near what they could experience. And how many Christians are living in that same spot? How many Christians today are still and really on the wilderness side of Jordan, only experiencing a drop of what God could do in their life? That is because they're of fear, unbelief, or faithlessness. They won't get to the river, won't go across, won't get into the land of promise. And so there's a lot of parallels there with that. They've known a measure of the presence of God. They have known some victories, but a lot more defeats and a lot more failures on that side of the river than there are on the other side of the river. And so, there's the Christian who comes through the wilderness, though, and into the land of the fullness of Christ, discovers immediately there's a Jericho in the path. There's something in the way. There's something that's standing up there, and that's where, our text is going to take off tonight. What we're going to end up talking about here tonight as we go along. And so listen, it doesn't matter how far that we come with Christ. Listen, Jericho was only the first walled city that they were going to come up. There was hundreds of them. There was hundreds of them, all different sizes, all different shapes. Jericho was the first one. I'll say this a minute too, but I'll give it to you now. God led them to that spot right there. I mean, all up and down. Listen, there wasn't one city after another within sight of each other at the Jordan River, but it was one where they crossed, and that's the place that God led them. Led by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of a cloud by day, led them right to that spot. That's where they cross. And so there's always going to be a Jericho in the path. The same Satan who bound the Israelites in Egypt still attacked them in the land of Canaan. That same Satan that had us bound when we were lost is still going to attack us. Now it's a different deal, different outcome, but we're still going to be attacked. I don't care whether you're wandering around in the wilderness or whether you've gotten over on the other side of Jordan to that spot, and I think you're going to get more attacked over on the other side of the Jordan than you are on the wilderness side, like I said this morning. Listen, Satan doesn't have to mess with the backslider. He doesn't have to mess with the compromiser. He don't have to mess with the weak. But boy, when you start getting close to God, you start getting in the Word of God, you start getting on fire from God, you better stay in prayer. You better get your armor on because he's coming. He's coming, man. He's going to come, and there's going to be some anything and everything you can think of. If it's discouragement, he'll use it. If it's your temper, he'll use it. If it's anything that you can, some temptation of some sin, something's going to happen when we start trying to get to the place that God would have us to get to. He's not going to sit for that. And so, as I said, who led the Israelites to Jericho? It was God. And God had a purpose for it. God had a purpose for that. And I want you to know something. The purpose is more about the Israelites than it is about a city in Canaan that needed to be defeated. Listen, God could have just thought, and they could have all been dead. They'd have walked in with a bunch of dead bodies. But what God was going to do, it had to do more about the children of God than it did about the children of the land that lived in the land of Canaan. It was more about them, and that's what we need to see. When there's a Jericho in the way, when there's something that God leads us to that's an obstacle or a challenge or a something bigger than us, God's got a purpose. And it's not about the problem, it's about us. It's about us. God's got something that he wants to see. So something that he wants to show us right there. Jesus was led into the wilderness after his baptism. Remember, Jesus himself, led by the Spirit, he went out in the wilderness. Guess what? He fasted 40 days. You know why? Wasn't no food there. He wasn't there. You know what? He wasn't drinking water. You know why? Because there wasn't any water there. And guess what? Satan met him there and tempted him. That was where the great temptation came. Didn't God the Father in that sense know about that? Yeah, he did know him. He led him to that very spot. There was a purpose for that as well. I believe in that purpose, it wasn't so much for Jesus as it was for us, to show us what was going to go on. So There's a lot of types of Jericho. When you think of Jericho, picture it's a walled city, a formidable thing for an untrained army. And these guys, Israel wasn't trained in war, not like the nations at war all the time. They've been in slavery for 400 plus years. They've been in slavery. There's types of Jerichos in our life. Maybe some kind of weakness within our flesh. Maybe it's something that we struggle with when in our flesh, and we just can't seem to get the victory over that. Maybe in an impossible situation or a seemingly impossible situation in our life. And I think with God, listen, there are no impossible situations in life. It just may be something that's come up. Maybe a family problem. Maybe a friend problem. Maybe a child problem. Something like that. It's just all kind of things that can come up in life that can be an obstacle to us. Something within ourselves. Something external, something internal, one way or the other. There's a Jericho that can come up and probably will come up and probably be more than one type and more than one kind, and there may even be more than one going on at the same time, right? But God is always bigger. God is always bigger. And sometimes maybe a Jericho is something holding us back and keeping us from doing or getting to the place of God's will. There could be something holding us back. And you know what? If we try, this is what happens. A lot of times, if I was to get you guys aside and you'd be, up front about it, you'd say, you know what, Pastor, you're right. Here's what my Jericho is. And you know what? And I just can't seem to get over it. No, you can't. And that's a lot of times what our problem is. We're trying to do it. We're trying to get the victory over whatever it is. We're trying to defeat it, and we're going to have to find out that we can't. We can't do it, and we try to do it, and we fail. It's very discouraging, by the way, failure. And so I'm going to show you how to get over the hump with that deal right there, and I'm going to show you what God showed them. We'll see it right here in our text, right here. And so Israel at one time, they've gotten past this one problem. At one time, the only thing that was, the Jordan River was there, and the Jordan River never really was the problem. We know it was at flood stage when they got up there the second time. The first time, the spies went over the river. That wasn't a problem. Their problem was the people in the land, the walled cities, the same thing they're going back to. You ever notice? Listen, here's a good lesson for you right here. They didn't want to go, wandered around 40 years till all the men of war died, and now they went back, and guess what? The walled city was still there. Huh? How many of us try to run from our problem, think, well, I'm just going to put my head in the sand like an ostrich. It's not going to be there when I wake up. I'm going to let it ride for just a little while. I'm going to let it sit, and guess what? Tomorrow, the problem's still there. Next month, the problem's still there. Next year, the problem's still there. You got the same old Jericho sitting there. Why? Because you never have dealt with it. They still had to go over there. That same walled city, them same people that looked like giants, them same people that looked like grasshoppers, they're still there. They got to deal with it. They just got to deal with it. And if they had to bypass Jordan, if they had to bypass Jericho, starts with the J, threw me off. If they had to bypass Jericho, it would have been behind them, and they still would have had to deal with it instead of going front on and facing it. It still would have been right there for them. And so there's those things, something holding them back. There was something that it held them back from reaching God's plan, God's place, God's purpose, God's blessing. They got held back by their fear, their lack of faith was what it all was. So how was Jericho to be overcome? And how is our Jericho to be overcome, whatever it may be, whatever's holding you back from whatever place God is leading you to? And God's leading you to a place somewhere. So chapter 6, the whole chapter that we looked at, tells us what Israel was to do, the instructions that God had given. They seem stupid. Let's call it what it is. I don't think God has a problem with us saying that. Humanly speaking, it seems stupid. It didn't seem like it would work. Huh? And how many of us with our pea brain, we look at what God wants us to do and say, well, God, I just don't see how that's going to work. I just can't see. And we stop right there. We look at our problem. We figure out, like, if I do this, this will happen, and then that'll do, and we got off here. And so whatever God, and then God's leading in your heart a certain way, and you think, but if I do that, I just can't see how it's going to turn out. Seems stupid, right? And so here it was. Well, we're going to march around the city once a day for 6 days, blow the trumpet. On the last day, they're going to blow the trumpet along the way. But on the last day, they did a long blow on the thing. Then they gave a shout and the walls went. Just seemed like a dumb plan. It seemed like it was ridiculous. And it seemed like that it was going to be impossible that it would accomplish anything. God wanted it that way. God wanted it that way. We also know from reading the Bible, in spite of that, that the inhabitants inside the city were afraid. Rahab had already said, our hearts melt. We've been heard. We've already heard what's going on. Our hearts melt because of you. Why? Because the spiritual resources they had already heard about. They already heard about the water parting. They already heard about what happened to the Egyptians. These people, and it probably looked stupid to them too. What are they doing? They didn't know the whole story. They just saw what they were doing every day. What do they think they're accomplishing? They might have even started ridiculing the Israelites while they were marching around the city and maybe thinking, hey, there's nothing they can do. They're checking things out. Don't you believe that God can deliver you from any Jericho which confronts you in your life? Amen. Do you really believe that? Any Jericho that confronts you in your life, do you believe God can deliver you from that? Why did God do it this way? Why did God do it the way he did? 6 days, everybody going around, don't say nothing. Had the trumpet, the horns and all that. The ark of God, the army, the people, men of war. 6 days they went around. 7th day, 7 times, blow the trumpet, shout. Why did God do it that way? What I said to you before, I said a few minutes ago, it didn't have anything to do with the obstacle. It had nothing to do with Jericho whatsoever. Everything that he did had to do with the people of Israel. Everything that he did was for their sake, not those people. God could have just said, look, and it said at the very beginning, look what it said, right? Look at chapter 6 at the very beginning. And the Lord said unto Joshua, I have given into thy hand Jericho. He's already given it to him. It's already done. Why do they have to do this? It had anything to do with Jericho. It wasn't some hocus pocus magical thing for Jericho. It had everything to do with the people of God. It was a test and a lesson of faith. What was their problem? Why didn't they go into Jericho? Why didn't they go over the Jordan River and go to Jericho the 40 years before? It was a faith problem. And God said, listen, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Now, he's got them going a little bit. Right? He's got them moving in faith in a certain direction. But he said, I'm going to have to show you some other things right there. So the very first test, he tested her faith, and he had to test 3 things. The very first test was a test by sight. A test by sight. Now the Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight, right? Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. But listen, sight's a real thing, right? We are going to see things in life that we can't explain it. We're going to see obstacles. We're going to see those Jerichos that come up in front of us. We're going to see those things. Even though we say we're not walking by sight, we do have sight, right? We do see it. We can see the problem. We can see the obstacle. But when God says, listen, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to go that way. All right, now we don't see what we don't see. It's not we don't see the obstacle. We don't see how we're going to overcome it. That's the problem. That's where walking by faith and not by sight. That's why it comes in, because you can't see it. So they walked around the city at least 13 times. Once a day for 6 days, 7 on the last. My math's not real good, but I think that's 13. 7 and 3 is 10, and 3 more is 13, right? Okay, am I good?
Good.
All right. Somebody get your calculator. I can see somebody now in the calculator. trying to see. Yeah, 13 times. Now, the Lord had spoke to Joshua about this, what we're going to do. Didn't talk to all the people. They didn't know the whole plan. Joshua knew this is what's going to happen. Now, I mean, this is what we're going to do. He didn't know what was going to happen at the end. But he knew. And so what happened? Joshua just told the people. He just gave them instructions for that day. Boy, there's a parallel right there. Our daily bread, right? I mean, you know what? We pray for today. We're going to pray tomorrow. We're going to pray for tomorrow. All right, we're going to have to read the Word of God tomorrow for tomorrow's daily bread. It's not going to be enough for the next day, like the manna in the wilderness. It's not going to be enough for the next day. You're going to have to get your manna the next day too. And you're going to have to get your manna the next day too. That's just a lesson on feeding on God constantly. You got to have that. You got to do it every day. So they had a daily instructions every day. And they walked around the first day and nothing happened. And I can see it now. They all got back to their tents. And the husbands and wives are laying around on one elbow, laying in there on the tent. What are we doing? I wonder what we're doing. Joshua's lost his feeble mind. Huh? We walked around the city and nothing happened. And then tomorrow, hey, guess what? We're going to do it again. And nothing happened. You know how impatient we are, right? Huh? You know how well, what's going on? I bet you there was grumbling, whining. How'd you like to be in Joshua's shoes? I bet he felt like just knocking somebody upside their head. Huh? Because they was driving him nuts about what was going on. Ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing going on. Here we go. Well, I can hear we got to walk around again. I don't know what he's doing, Everybody jumped, but they couldn't talk. See, he told. That's why I think he told them not to say a word. You can't talk. Because that's all they'd been yakking about. Wonder where he done lost his mind walking. I'm tired of walking around this city, man. I'm walking around. Huh? He told them not to say nothing. Because all it would have been was a bunch of grumbling and complaining. That's what I think if he had to let them talk, right? So he said, don't walk around that city. Don't say anything. And he walked around. And he went around. And it was also a lesson in perseverance, right? Everything don't happen like right when we want it to. Does it? Huh? Everything don't happen like instant pudding. And it don't happen like that. Instant. Boy, the popcorn. Little side lesson. Remember, it had Jiffy Pop. Y'all remember that? Do they still have that? Yeah. They have Jiffy Pop? Yeah. I don't think that popcorn's worth a hoot. They got some better stuff. But back in the old days, man, you had to get the oil out and pour it in the pan. Remember that? Yeah. Now, so you young people don't. You had to pour the oil in there, get it just right. Then you put the popcorn seeds down in there, and you had to put the salt and everything in there. You had to put the lid on it. And it'd be popping and going like that. Not burning. It's not now. They'd have it's already ready to go. You do it. Anyway, I don't know why I said that. We want everything instantly, right? And they said, you got to walk around today. And then you got to wait. Why do we got to wait? So the husbands and wives could lay in there on one arm and say, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's happening. They talked about that. I believe this, though. I believe this is another thing I believe. They walked around that city. And the more you keep focusing on your problem, the bigger that problem gets. Huh? And they walked around that city. This is the city. Every day, they walked around there once a day. They kept looking. They said, man, them walls is thick. They were taller than that. They were looking up. Man, that wall is tall, man. The next day, they go around there, And the first day, it was the first time it was new. And the second day, you see a little bit more details about that. You say, man, I don't know how in the world we're going to get into that. Look at that thing, man. There ain't no way we get up there. They're going to kill us if we try to get up right there. I don't know, man. And it's looking bleak, man. Down in here, they start getting depressed, right? Down in there, and they say, man, and the husband telling the wife, oh, honey, man, I don't know what's up. Look at that. And the next day, I think, I don't know what we're going to do, man. I just don't know what. Now, imagine around the camp at night. They couldn't talk while they walked around the city, but I imagine the men all got together. They had a men's meeting, men's breakfast. They got there, and they said, I don't know, man, I tell you what, man, you see any way, Leonard? You see a way to get there? Man, I don't know, man. I don't know what are we going to do? I don't know. That's what it was. And that's what God wanted to happen. See, God wanted them to get to the point where they looked within themselves and they said, we can't do it. It's impossible. God said, okay, now I'm getting you where I want to get you. I'm getting you right there. See, here's the thing with us. Our biggest problem is we always think we're going to help God. And I'm not saying that there's not things that God leads us to do and tells us to do, and he tells you to study the Word and read the Word and pray and all that like that, but God don't need it. You do. But what it is, we think that we're going to do it, and we're going to get God to help us. And what God's going to show them, listen, I'm going to do it, and I don't need you to help me. I just want you to participate, but I don't have to have you. And I want you to get to the point where you realize, without me, it isn't getting done. And as long as we don't, we're still over on the other side of Jordan in the wilderness wandering around. That's what he's trying to get them to see. So they walked around there, and I think every day they kept looking at it. They kept looking at it, and it kept getting bigger. The walls kept getting thicker. The walls kept getting higher. The impossibility kept getting bigger. And listen, it was going to be impossible. That's what they had to find out. See, walking by, and what happens when we walk by sight, which looking at that they were, It paralyzes us a lot of times. I just can't. I just can't do it. And then there's despair. And then there's this hopelessness. Except God. So they saw that. And the main thing to remember, though, here is the great thing. Remember when it was given all the instructions how it was going to do? It said they were going to take the Ark of the Covenant around. And it was going to be the army was out in front and the seven priests bearing the Ark, and they had the seven horns, and they were going to come along and follow along behind. And that Ark was a representative of God. So they look at the problem. They walk around. And they're going around there and looking at that problem. But boy, they could look back. And there was God right there. Huh? There was God, man. And they, you know, and then they start looking at that and they say, you know what? But we got the Ark. We got God. It was a physical, you know, a visual representative of God. They had God with them. And that was the central thing. The symbol of God's presence was with them. Now, see, you think, well, listen, we got the Holy Spirit. They didn't. They saw God in the visible. They saw on the other side the fire and pillar of a fire by night and a pillar of a cloud by day. And they saw that Ark that you couldn't touch it. It was so holy. They had to put wooden staves in there and carry that thing. And you know, you didn't touch it. You couldn't touch it. It was that holy. And I bet you there was an aura around that thing. And it was the presence of God. And they knew that. The Ark was with them when they crossed over Jordan, and the Ark was with them now. And God was walking around that city when they walked around the city with him. And they walked around long enough to realize that in themselves there was no hope. Their only hope was God. So you had to get. That's why so many people, they've got to get flat run out of everything. The old saying about God to put you on your back so you look up. They've got to get done with everything. Their only hope was God himself. And that's what God wants us to know, the same thing. You might have a Jericho of some kind, some challenge in your life, some challenge in front of you, something stopping you, something you don't understand it. It's in the way. It's holding you back. But you need to find out you can't defeat it. You can't fix it. And you can't ignore it either. You just got to turn it over to God. We try all those things. So God wants us to get to the place of admittance that the whole thing is too big for us. It's too big. That's what he wants you to know. And as long as we think that we can do it, God can't help us. God can't, probably be a better word would be God won't help us. So there was the test of sight. Now we have the test of silence I spoke about. You know that Jericho was a gift from God. It was a gift from God. That's why God led them right to that place. They were going to learn something that they would have never learned. Well, it had to be a Jericho of some kind. It didn't have to necessarily be that city, but they would have never learned it there. See, when we've got a challenge in front of us, we've got a problem, a trial, or anything like that in our life, it's really, in a sense, it's a gift from God. Your faith will not be increased anywhere else. Your faith is hardly ever increased in prosperity. It's always in adversity. So how are they going to know what God was capable of more so? You know, how are they going to know? How are they going to know the multiple ways that God could do things? God could do things a zillion different ways, I guess, he could do it. It was a gift from God. Its purpose was a gift from God. The results were a gift from God. Everything had to do with God. Like I said, this whole deal was for them, not anybody else. Well, for us, but I mean God's people. Verse 10 tells us they marched around each day. They weren't to talk. They weren't to make a noise with their voice. They had to have silence. What happens when we're not talking, distracted? You know, because we live in a world, I say it all the time, we got to have the TV running whether we watch it or not. You got radio on in the car, your mind, you know, we got all kind of distractions in life. What happens when you're walking around, your mind is going, you're thinking. I imagine everybody's mind was all over the place. But sometimes we start thinking about the situation and ourselves, reflection and or meditation. And like I said, God's dealing with them. those Jerichos that we have in life are for us. They work for us, not against us. But sometimes, you know, we even, how many of us have said this? Let me put it this way, get it simplified. We say, well, you know, Lord, I'm going through something in life. Somebody that's matured a little bit. Somebody maybe that's gone ahead and got over on the Jordan, on the Canaan side in their spiritual walk with God. And they said, well, you know, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I know God's got something there for me. He's teaching me something. What is, a lot of people have got to that place right there. That's why this silence as he went around. There's a lot of other kinds of Jerichos, and I was talking about things mostly external, but there's things that are internal things. How about our indifference, no compassion for the lost, materialism that we talked about this morning, more concerned about things than about the things of God. And we've tried to climb over those things. A lot of us, you know, we know ourselves if we've had any reflective time at all. We think about things. We know about what our problems are, right? And how many of us say, you know, I need to fix this, I need to deal with this, and I need to. It's the same thing. After a while, you got to realize, you know what, I can't do it. Like I said all the time, I know I can't love God as much the way I ought to love God without God. God's got to help me love His own self more. God has to do that. You know, so we've tried to do it in our own effort. And so what happened? We think about expanding God's kingdom. We try to do it in our own strength. I think I said something about this last. You know, we do the programs and the advertising and the circuses and all those other things. We're trying to do it in our own strength. And most of that stuff doesn't fail. It doesn't. It's not lasting most of the time. But here's a note. I want you to know something. Israelites marched around that city. They were silent, but the people inside were still terrified of them. They were terrified of God's people because of what Israel said, but because God was in their midst. That spiritual aura, what God had done, the spiritual presence of God was in their midst. That's the victory. That's the key to victory. We think we got to do it. You know, we think we have to do it. No, and God had to still show them, listen, no, you're not even going to, you not only are, you know, you're not going to defeat anything within you. You're not going to defeat anything without you, on the outside of you, outwardly. You can't do it. You can't do it. That's the problem. Israel, all Israel did was walk, listen, and do the will of God. All they did was do what God asked them to do. That's all God asked us to do. Do what He asked us to do. He always empowers us to do what He asks us to do, right? And the world will tremble. This world will tremble if we just do what God asks us to do. That's the lesson that we can see right there. Elijah, remember Elijah was in a cave and he was feeling all sorry for himself and there was a bunch of wind. And God said, I'm not in the wind. There was an earthquake, and He said, I'm not in the earthquake. And then there was this still, small voice. And He said, I'm in that. He said, that's it. That was an illustration right there that God used the same way. It wasn't inactivity or passivity, just doing what God told them to do. Prayer and obedience. Linking ourselves in our weakness and our helplessness with God's omnipotent power. That's what God wants us to do. Weak vessels, man. That's who God wants to use. That's who He does use. And that's when the enemy begins to become afraid and become under conviction of sin. They have a conviction. Let me tell you something. Prayerlessness is a sin. It's a sin. It's a flat-out sin. It's a flat-out indication of no faith when we don't pray. I mean, that's a serious thing, man. Listen, I don't care how lame you think your prayer life is. I mean, sometimes, listen, I sit down to pray because I know I ought to pray. Is Sherry going to get ready? We pray in the morning and start the day out. And sometimes, listen, God don't feel like He's all that close. But you know what? We just start praying. I mean, I know God wants me to pray. I know God wants me. You know why? If God doesn't feel close, it's because we're not talking to God. I pray till I do feel like God's close. But we start out and we pray. And if we don't pray, that's a faith issue. It means that we do not believe there's any benefit, there's any power in prayer. That is, and I'm going to tell you what, that oneness we've got, that is showing dependence on God. And if we don't pray, you know what we think? We got it. We got this. We can handle it. We can handle it. That's what we think. That's the proof. That's the proof right there. So we need to get under conviction about that. God convicts the world. Listen to this statement right here. God convicts the world in the measure in which he convicts the church. He convicts the world in the measure in which he convicts the church. Right? Listen, things got to start in the house of God. It's got to start in the house of God. But I'll tell you this, every Jericho in the world may fall. Every Jericho can fall. So how did Jericho fall? We get to the last little point. This one's not too long. A test of shout. The Bible says there when they went around on the sixth day, they went around seven times. And it said they blew the trumpets and all the people shouted and the walls just fell down. Now, what was the key? Was, you know, it's not any, well, it was that shout and all those sound waves kind of got together and there was like a harmonic vibration and all the rocks just kind of fell loose. No, it had nothing to do with that. It was obedience of God's people. That's all God wanted. He could have told them, listen, just jump up one time, step back two times. He could have told them to do anything. He just wanted them to be obedient. Seem crazy? But he said, listen, that's what I want from you. I just want you to be obedient. They did what God told them to do. The obedience, man, see how prayer and obedience, it goes in the will of God and how it worked in the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:6 says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a trump of God. And I'm going to tell you what, man, that's the same picture that we see right there. God gave them a shout, a trump, before the walls fell. He'd already told them, like I said in verse 1, he said, I've done given you that city right there. There's something to shout about. See, we already got the victory. We've already got it. I mean, everything, we got the victory now. We can shout now. I think about, like I said, Wednesday night prayer meetings. If you're not depressed when you get here, you will be by the time you leave. Because everybody's down, everybody's beat, everybody's got a... Man, listen, we got the victory over all them problems. We got the victory over all them problems. And if you're in a problem, God led you to it, and there's a purpose for it, and there's a plan for it, and all those things will be going on. God can take care of it. Listen, so there's a shout. The walls fell. It was a sure thing. It was a done deal before they ever got to that place right there. All they had to do was believe the word of God all the way back there in verse 1 or 2, whichever one it came out. Now, I'm going to tell you something right here. When the Lord comes back, who's going to shout? You think the backslider is going to be shouting when the Lord comes back? Do you think the disobedient is going to be shouting when the Lord comes back? Are the faithless going to shout when the Lord comes back? Are the proud going to shout when the Lord comes back? Uh-uh. No, man, it's going to be the believers, the people that have faith. They're the ones that's going to shout that the Lord's come back. I'm going to tell you right now, here's the last thing, and I'll be done. Eileen said I had to be done by 7:30 because that's what I said. See, she remembered that, see, that I had to be done. I said, you got to be done by 7:30. I might be just a minute if that clock's right past. We need to get on shouting ground. Huh? We need to get on that shouting ground, man. I mean, listen, that's by faith and obedience. We can look at all the problems in the world. Listen, man, I'm telling you what, if you watch the news, you're going to be depressed. Huh? If you watch the stock market, you're going to be depressed. That's the two things I look at. I look and see what that's doing. I look and see what the news is doing. But you know what? It don't matter. You know, if the thing's in the red, it doesn't matter. I'm still in God's hands, right? It doesn't matter. Listen, I mean, I look at it just to see what's happening. I've been praying for them people over in Ukraine. Man, I'm telling you what, that prayer's working because that deal is going on. But I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter what your problem is. You get up in the morning, guess what? Jericho is going to be sitting right there staring you in the face. All we got to do, listen, we already know God's in control. We've already got the victory. We've already got the victory over every sin, every obstacle, every problem. All we got to do is have faith, and we get around there, and we can walk around that problem. We can look at that problem just like I said. We can check that thing out and say, man, you are going down. Huh? You are going down, man. I tell you what, if they'd had the faith they started to have, they wouldn't have been laying in there all night. They'd have walked around there and said, boy, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you what, God's going to take care of you. Yes, sir, you're going to go down. God's going to deal with you right there. Hey, you know what God said? God said, go ahead and give a shout. They just turned around and shout, whoo, man, I mean, here it come down. Boom, walked in. Can't get any easier than that. Huh? Boy, what'd you do all day? Oh, I walked around that city one time. I had a big day. Had a big day on Friday, though. We had to walk around it. Had to walk around that thing seven times. Boy, what a job. And then just going in there and picking up all that plunder. Boy, that was rough, carrying all that stuff out. That was all God's, though. That's a little side lesson for you. You know why all of it, remember when it said everything was dedicated to God, all the gold and silver and everything? Why? Because it was first fruits. It was the first city. First fruits always belong to God. Huh? So they took everything, they gave it to God. Guess what? All the rest of the cities they got. Except for old Achan had to mess it up. That's another story. We'll get to that probably. Huh? But it was first fruits. It all went to God. After that, when they went into the cities, hey, boy, look at that outfit. I think that'll fit. It's just my size. Oh, look, a big old thing of gold. I think I'll take it. Huh? They went on. God just blessed them, man. They had to learn it right there. Need to get on shouting ground right now. I'm telling you what, you get on shouting ground by faith and obedience. Those are the two things. Don't matter if you can understand it. If you can understand it, God's not doing it. Just get on shouting ground with God. Come on, Paul, we'll have a...